Exodus 15, the last verse, verse 27. They came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. If you can just imagine traveling from Egypt, you've been a slave there. You were born a slave. Remember, they were there 400 years. There rose a king that knew not Joseph. And the pressure was on and continually increased the application of stress and persecution. And they have enslaved them. And so imagine you were born into slavery. Your children have been born into slavery. Your grandchildren are slaves. And you've cried out to God and said, God, save us. We remember that our parents told us about God and the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. God, help us. Oh, I wish that God would show up. Oh, I wish we had a God around in our day like they had in their day. And then the word comes that there's this fellow named Moses who we all recognize because he grew up among us. Of course, when he was growing up, he was a big shot. But now he says he's going to take us out of here and take us back to the land that God promised to us. And so he tells us about the plagues, and we experience the plagues. And he tells us about the Passover. We kill the Passover lamb. We apply the blood to the doorposts. We go inside and close the door, and we partake of the Passover meal. We hear the screams and the cries of the homes that rejected the idea of this Passover, and particularly those who were not Jewish, who had rejected the idea of a bloody Passover. And we hear the mothers weep, and we hear the fathers cry as their child has been taken, and maybe even some wives whose husbands have been taken. But we already have our shoes on, because that's what Moses told us, to eat with your shoes on, be dressed and packed and ready to go. And the word comes that Pharaoh has commanded that we leave. And so we rush out, taking only what we can fit in carts or wagons in our hands. And we race to the Red Sea and find ourselves trapped because the army of Pharaoh is behind us. But over the night, as we cry and worry and stress, the wind blows, the wind picks up, and before you know it, the wind has pushed the Red Sea up and made a wall, and we can walk across on dry ground. That's incredible, isn't it? You understand there's some non-Jews in this crowd that left. They said, if your God can do what we've seen your God do, we want to go with you. We want your God to be our God. And so they rush in with them, and they leave as an army of Jews leaving Egypt, a people running from the Egyptian army. And they continue on. They get past the Red Sea, and boy, wasn't that remarkable. That was remarkable. And they come to a place. They come to a place where there are palm trees. Now, you've all imagined what Egypt is like and what this peninsula is like where they have traveled. And all we see is sand and rocks and mountains and hills. But we don't see green grass, and we don't see flowers, and all of a sudden there's an oasis. An oasis there in the midst. And by the way, you can travel to this place today. It's undeveloped all around it. But there is an Elim, still the palms and still the wells of water. Still today. And you can go to that place in the midst of a vast desert and find refuge. And so they find, can you imagine the people as they got so excited, running to those palms and running to those wells of water, and they sit down by the water and they rest there and they say, oh, this is great. And Moses says, I know it's great, but number one, it's not big enough for all of us. It will never sustain us all. We've still got more ground to travel. And so they travel on. Chapter 16, verse 1, they took their journey from Elim. All the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, so say 45 days, give or take, from the time they left, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full. You have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." How did this whole thing start? Do you remember? Moses was walking, minding his own business, keeping the sheep for his father-in-law on the backside of the desert. And he saw this burning bush that didn't burn up. And he said, "I got to check that out." And he got over there and he's looking at it, and the Lord said from the bush, "Take off your shoes, you're on holy ground." Oh, he took off his shoes. And the Lord said, "I got a job for you, Moses. I have heard the cry of my people. And you're the answer. Go back, tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may serve me. And you'll bring them into the promised land." It all started because they didn't like where they were. It all started because they were praying, "God, get us out of here." And God, what did God do? He got them out of there. They said, "We want freedom." They're free. But now slavery doesn't look so bad. Now Egypt looks like home. Oh, don't you remember that fish we ate there? Pots of flesh. So much bread, our bellies were so full. And now we're out here and we're, you know, people get really testy when they're hungry. I don't want to be around anybody that's hungry. If you're going on a diet, please let me know so I can avoid you. I don't want to be around anybody that's hungry. I guess it's Kendra that would always say, "You bet." We used to always say, "I don't say it anymore." I'd throw her a biscuit. Give her something to eat because she's hungry. And you're not you when you're hungry, right? That's what Snickers says. They're hungry and they're miserable and they forget that God has brought them out of slavery. They haven't worked since they left except to walk. But they're miserable. They're unhappy. And by the way, part of the problem is that mixed multitude. Part of the problem is there's some people there that don't share their heritage, don't share their faith. They have seen, they cried, "Where's that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob?" And God showed up, gave them 10 plagues, including the Passover, and then he parted the Red Sea to get them across. But they say, "God doesn't care about us." I was talking to someone the other night, and she said, "Derek, I don't think people have convictions. They enjoy a good sermon at church and some good music, but they don't really believe anything. They don't believe it. They don't know what they believe." I said, "The problem's not they don't know what they believe. They don't believe anything. They don't have any convictions." That's what's wrong with the world. And we see, you know, it just keeps going woker and woker. They're going to be so woke They won't be able to sleep. But it's going to keep going, guys. The Bible told us it was going to happen. It shouldn't be a shock to any of us. It ought to make us happy that we're almost there. Because I'm telling you, God's not going to put up with it forever. They moved on from a beautiful oasis toward their destination. By the way, tell me, Moses, where are we going? A land flowing with milk and honey. Sounds beautiful, doesn't it? Sounds like it'll satisfy every fleshly desire you've got. You won't be hungry ever again. Be hospitable. You say to me, Pastor, I want my sins washed away. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get out of that sin that I was in. I want a new life. Well, let me tell you something. The journey from here to there may not be hospitable. There are going to be some problems. There are going to be some temptation. There's going to be some desire. There's going to be some memory that says, don't you remember when we were sitting around that flesh pot eating fish and all the bread we wanted when we were living in sin and we were slaves to the devil? Don't you remember how good it was back in those days? Don't go back. No, you keep going. I promise what's ahead is going to be better. Quit going back. Quit going back to the past. Well, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, I will rain bread from heaven. Now, I don't know if he said it with such an attitude like that. I mean, these people are fussing and they're miserable and they're complaining. I'll rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. What was the one rule? Don't eat the one fruit on the one tree. One rule. That's the only rule. They broke it. God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a rule. I'm going to make a rule. They can only gather so much each day. There's a limit to what they can gather. And if they gather more than that, the next day it's going to be rotten. All they can take is enough for themselves for one day. Make a rule. Let's see if they'll keep the rule. Let's see if they want to live within the rules or not. Oh, by the way, on the sixth day, verse 5, they can get twice as much because I don't want them gathering anything on the Sabbath day. So on the Sabbath day, it won't go rotten until the first day of the week. So it'll hold over. Verse 7, in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us, Moses and Aaron said. Why are you complaining to me? I didn't chain any of you up to bring you out here. I didn't force anybody to come for this journey. You're all here willingly. So why are you complaining to me that you're hungry? Did you think I got a semi-truck full of bread? I don't have anything either. I'm with you. Verse 8, Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. By the way, this is what you prayed for. How many of us can look at our lives, think back, and maybe we were sick and we said, God, heal our bodies, and now we're better. God, get me through this crisis, and he did. God, maybe you prayed that God would give you your spouse, and he did. Maybe you prayed that God would give you your children, and he did. Maybe you prayed that God would give you your child health so that he could live, and he did. And how are we going to fuss at those youngins when we pray God to give them to us? I should preach this on Sunday morning. We prayed that God would give us what we got. Maybe you were looking for a job and you said, God, please give me the job. Don't you complain about that job. You ask God to give it to you. Don't be murmuring about God's answer to your prayer. Verse number 10, it came to pass as Aaron spake to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. I want you to just, again, think about that cloud that's white. It's a white cloud, but now it's got colors in it. Now it's got orange and red and green and blue and this purple, us beautiful colors coming out of that cloud, the glory of God. The light, not just a white cloud, but the glory of God. Verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass at evening, the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. Hey, there's flesh, there's meat. Hey, there's bread. Why? Because you prayed for it. Because you prayed for it. What is it that we fall short in? Then let us ask of God, who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Now, specifically, that verse is referring to wisdom. But if any of you lack, let us ask God. It's incredible what God will do when we finally decide to ask Him. Imagine God watching us, you know, going through this maze called life, and we just keep going and we keep going, and we finally look up and say, God, which way to go? He said, go that way. Why didn't you ask? I mean, I've been watching you bump your head this whole time. But I'm not butting in. I'm waiting until you ask. They've asked for liberty. They got liberty. They asked for safety from Pharaoh's army. They got it. They crossed on dry ground. They got to palms and wells, and they enjoyed that. Now they're on their journey. They said they wanted bread. God give them bread. They say, we want meat. God give them meat. They prayed for it. And they covered it. Go to Numbers, the book of Numbers in chapter 11. Once we ask God for something, we ought to thank God for it when He gives it to us. I'm concerned that maybe sometimes we ask God to give us things and then He gives it to us. It's like that joke Brother Bassett always tells about the fellow who prayed for a parking spot. He said, if you give me a parking spot, God, I'll give $10,000 to the church. And about that time, somebody backed out and he saw an empty spot and he said, never mind, God, I found one. And that's what we do. We ask God to do it, and then we think it came some other way. No, it only came from Him. It came from God. Numbers chapter 11, page 181. He says in verse number 4, the mixed multitude, that's that group of non-Jews that are among them, they fell a-lusting. The children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? But it doesn't stop there, does it? We always got to go back. You know, Mama used to cook like this. Don't ever tell your wife that way. Don't ever tell your wife what a good cook your mama was or is. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. We ate so much fish, we had everything we wanted. Is that why you were crying to God to get you out of there? Because it was so wonderful? And the cucumbers. And the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They just keep going deeper. And, you know, because all of those things, the onions, the garlic, the leeks, all of that stuff just adds flavor. Do we need any of it? No, we don't need any of it. But the flesh doesn't just want what we need. The flesh wants stuff that's going to excite it. You know, excite your taste buds with some garlic and some onions and some melons and cucumbers. Oh, boy. They just keep painting this picture of how great it was. Well, if it was so great, why did you leave? If your old church was so good, why aren't you still there? Right? If your old job was so good, why did you leave? Right? Why do we keep going back to the past, talk about how great it was? Guys, let's look to the future. They're going to the land flowing with milk and honey. And on the way, they keep looking back at slavery and sin and confusion and misery, and they want to keep going back. Don't go back. I've seen people come to Jesus, get their lives straight. Man, things are going great. Everything's wonderful. And all of a sudden, I don't know what comes over them. The Bible says it's like a dog going back and licking up his vomit. And people go after they're saved and cleansed and everything's great. For some reason, they start thinking about Egypt and then they go back. And it slaves them again. And what happens? They cry out, God, save me. And God does, doesn't he? God's so good. But you see what happens is after a couple of times doing that, what happens is we get to the point where we're afraid to call on God anymore. Well, I don't want to call on God because he always rescues me and I need to get out of this myself. Let me assure you something. You won't get out of it by yourself. You need God. You need God to get out of it. Trust in him. Call on him. Fall on him. Hope in him. I was reading a testimony yesterday about a young man who left, and I'll just tell you what the article said. He left the East and went to San Francisco because he thought he would be more accepted there. Draw your own conclusions. Built a big business, made a lot of money. Something happened. Didn't say what happened, just said he lost it all. He's on the streets asking for money. Gets enough money, you know what he'll do? He'll go to the bar and get him a drink. And he said to this young lady, he said, you know, I kind of feel bad because a lot of times I leave the bar and I need to go get food at the pantry at the church. A church I don't believe in. A church that I have rejected. But I leave the bar where I've spent my money that I was able to get and go to the church and ask for help. Hey, thank God there's a church there to help. Guys, we need to get out of that cycle, but we're going to have to get God's help. We've got to not be ashamed to crawl back again. The prodigal son woke up and he said, oh, look at this mess I'm in. He said, you know, if I was working for Dad, I wouldn't be this bad off. Man, I'd go back to Dad and get a job as a servant. And I start at the bottom, but that'll be okay. It'll be better than slopping pigs and eating their food. And he goes home, and what happens? Dad runs out to meet him with his arms wide open. His brother said, you know what he spent all of his money on, Dad? Don't care. He's my son. Stop going back to Egypt. I know, listen, there were things that were exciting in Egypt. There were some exciting things. They excited your eyes and they excited all of your senses. But let me tell you something. You got out for a reason. And what you're headed to is the land flowing with milk and honey. Stop whining. Did we read this yet? I don't know. Where do we? Verse 6. This is the whole message in verse 6. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna. Beside this manna. Hold on a second. Do you realize what a miracle that is? Do you realize that God is raining down bread from heaven? You don't have to grow it. You didn't plant it, water it, wait for it, harvest it. It's there. All you got to do is you can pick it up and eat it. Or you can pick it up and grind it. And you can make cornbread. Right? You can make stuff with it. You can put it in soup, make chicken and dumplings or quail and dumplings, right? You can fix it up. It's a miracle from God that takes no effort on your part except to pick it up. You don't have to shuck it. You don't have to snap it, right? You don't have to do all the work that you got to do with regular vegetables. Pick it up, put it in your mouth, and eat it. And you can come out every day and get some more. You don't even have to get a basket full because you're going to have more tomorrow without any effort. That's all we got. Holy cow. Guys, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. I would argue, and I've only lived in Florida. I mean, I like the mountains too, but I'd argue we got a pretty good state. Things are pretty good. Got a great church. I don't know of anybody that had to walk from the house to get here because you didn't have a car. That's God's good to us. For us to find something to complain about or jump on the bandwagon with the mixed multitude that doesn't have our God, doesn't have our faith, doesn't have our experience with God, we should not join into their misery and commiserate with them. When they start complaining, we ought to start praising. Oh, we got rain. All this rain. Praise God we got rain. Oh, it's so hot outside. Hey, without the sunshine, how's everything going to grow? By the way, it's hot out there. You might as well embrace it because it's not going to change just because you got a bad attitude. We need to be praising God. We prayed for this. God has given us the answers to our prayer. And He renews us daily. So let's respond to Him with thanksgiving. And not grow weary and unappreciative. God has been so good to us in response to our prayers. We ask for it. God, we thank You. We thank You that You hear our prayers. We thank You for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for the Bible, for the church. God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for answering our requests for those we love, those we don't even know, but they've asked You to touch them, and so we ask on their behalf. Hear their prayer. Answer their prayer. Answer it for us in a great and mighty way. God, we want to see Your hand and Your heart in and through our lives. Dismiss us with Your blessing and bring us back again. We ask it in Jesus' name.